You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Good morning. Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Emily, for those that don't know me. I'm on the staff team here at City Church, and I'm married to Matt, who would normally be sat here, but Oscar is poorly today. He woke up saying that his head was as heavy as an elephant. So Matt is at home with Oscar this morning, and Sophia as well is my daughter. I started coming to church in 2008. As a student at York St. John, studying counselling. Yes! At the time, I was very much on a path away from God. But after many, many years, from teenager through to like early 20s, I found myself searching again. And amazingly, some brave person invited me along to church, and I was intrigued. And this turned into a longing for something more than the life that I was living. And it was then that God, at this church, that God dramatically called me back. And he took me off what was a very messy and dark path, and he put me on his path. And still messy, and by no means easier, but one that's heading in the right direction, that's heading towards God. 16 years on, from that time of intrigue and longing, and I'm still part of this wonderful church family, and something I wouldn't have guessed all those years ago, that my life would look this way. I'm still here loving God and looking to Jesus as the one that rescued me and still continues to rescue me. I wanted to share this because the scriptures that we're looking at today are they're about a man who felt intrigued by Jesus, and he starts to question all he's ever known as he comes face to face with the awesome love of God. I'll just pray and then we'll look at the story. Heavenly Father, we open up the word and we open up our hearts to you. Let us see more of you this morning. Draw us in, help center us, help quiet down the noisiness of our minds and our hearts. Bring us to a place where we can receive and hear from you, Jesus. Strengthen our faith, and I pray that you teach us your wisdom this morning. Help us to be thankful and prompt us to things we need to repent of, and bring freedom to us through your word this morning. Amen. Okay, so today we are going to look to John 3:14-21, which is jumping into a conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, who is a Jewish leader. He's come out in the night with his questions. He probably doesn't want to be seen, but he is deeply intrigued by what he's heard and wants to find out more. And his opening remark earlier in the text, which starts off this whole conversation, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you were doing if God were not with him." So they go on to talk about being born again, being born of the Spirit, and then here in our scripture for today about how we can look to Jesus and find life. So let's read John 3:14-21. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. So this must have been quite an unsettling time for Nicodemus to hear something new and different to what he's always known and been taught, but to sense that God is in it. And I imagine he would have felt like the ground that he's stood on for so long suddenly doesn't feel so solid anymore. So we have this dialogue going on, and I'm sure we'll likely recognise that very famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And it's a powerful one, isn't it? And it holds, like, it's central to the gospel message that we know and love. But preceding this, we have this slightly less well-known verse that didn't make the fridge magnet. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So in order to understand this, we need to go back to the wilderness story in Numbers. Like, why must Jesus be lifted up like the serpent? It sounds confusing. So we're going to go back to Numbers and try and unpack it a bit more. So we're in Numbers 21, 4 to 9. "They travelled from Mount Hor along the road to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, 'Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, we detest this miserable food.' Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, 'We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us.' So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, 'Make a snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at it and live.' So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived." So we have the rescued and liberated Israelites. They had been enslaved in Egypt. Pharaoh had made them build for him day and night, and in his anger against them made them work harder and harder. And the people cried out to God to help them. So God was raising up Moses to bring them out of Egypt, to liberate them from Pharaoh. And so here they are on their way out. They've had manna each day. They've seen the Red Sea split in front of them and miracles that we can't even imagine. And here they are, and they're complaining. "There's no bread. There, we want something tasty to eat." And earlier in the story, they were remembering back to when they had melons and cucumbers and just longing for those again. we think, how could they complain? God has done so much for them. They've been miraculously liberated. And here they are longing for cucumbers. Of course, we know in our hearts, don't we, that we would be exactly the same. And some very powerful imagery here for us today is as we look back and we might long for aspects of our old ways of living, or we become dissatisfied of God's way for providing for us now, forgetting the freedom and love and grace that we actually stand in. So we might be letting what's hard right now send our minds back to what was easier. And the enemy can make those things look much more appealing than they truly are. And so if we let God examine our hearts through this, Where do we long for things that might bring us that instant comfort or escape, but that God doesn't want for us anymore? So back in the wilderness, God sent venomous snakes. Now, Oscar likes this that it says venomous, because people wrongly say poisonous sometimes, and there's a difference apparently. So you might want to ask him about that. I could explain it, but I feel like I don't want that to be your takeaway from today. I feel like that's the thing I would remember. So these snakes, venomous snakes, were biting people and they were dying. And the people came to Moses and said, "We've sinned, we've spoke against the Lord, pray he takes the snakes away." So Moses prays for them. And in our stories, our own stories, we want this kind of intercessory prayer to lead to the answers that we want. God, take their illness away. God, restore their marriage. Protect our children from having a hard time. End that war. And these prayers of what we desperately want are real and raw and right to pray, but we often have just one way that we want God to answer them. But God, in this story and often in our own, doesn't take the snakes away. He leaves them there. And it's in his wisdom, and which is way beyond our understanding, and we often don't get what God is doing. But if we look as closely as we can at this story, I think it can help us to see something deeper that's going on. Because when the people were bitten by the snakes, this leads them to see their desperate need. It drove the people to look beyond themselves and look to God. And God will sometimes leave the thing that's leading us to suffer for a season in his wisdom, in his ability to see the bigger picture of our lives. And he may leave it to break us free of our old selves, our self-reliance, or the belief that we're sustaining ourselves. And it brings us to that humbled place, often on our knees, where we say, "Jesus, we cannot do this without you." And this isn't saying that God is causing us to suffer. We know that's not true, but he does allow the suffering in your life to shape you. And when you are under the pressure of suffering, do you run away from God or do you run to him? Do you look back longingly to past captivity, old way of living, and look for things for comfort and escape? And I know there are so many suffering here right now today, and we know there's no ideal way to endure suffering. It is painful and it can be messy. And there's also no condemnation for you if you are running away from it all right now. God is not standing there angry with you. He's looking at you lovingly, heart full to the brim with love for you, longing for you to turn back to him. See, God can lovingly create endurance and resilience in you through your suffering in ways that he couldn't do through anything else. God is close to those whose hearts are breaking, and he's especially close to you if you're suffering right now. And although God leaves the snakes there, He makes a way for the people to live. And so anyone who is bitten can look at the bronze snake and live. And coming back to Jesus' words, just as Moses lifted up the snake, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that anyone who looks and believes will have eternal life. And so for us, when we have realized our own desperate need, only then do we look to the rescuer and live. So then we come to that famous verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've all heard it so many times, and it is our gospel message, isn't it? The love of God that leads him to make the ultimate sacrifice in order to give us life. All this precious gospel vocabulary that we have come to know and perhaps have gotten a bit desensitized to, and it was all originally said to just one man in response to his late night questioning. How can we be born again? How can we see the kingdom of God? How? And Jesus' answers all hinge around the love of God, his chosen way of loving us, which was through this costly sacrifice of a perfect life, to make a way back to God, to bridge that divide, and to be completely forgiven and set free. And it's all because of God's love for us. And it's so challenging to us, this perfect love of God. We have had such different experiences of what love is, much of it from our upbringing or our relationships that we've had, and we can't fully understand God's love from these flawed examples, but subconsciously that is what we do. We take the fear of judgment or abandonment or feeling unsafe or rejected from that, and we put it onto how we perceive God's love for us. But God's love is quite different. And although we do see glimpses of this godly love, as we've been made in his image, we see it through the forgiveness of each other, our nurturing and encouraging, challenging and joy and laughing and that sense of belonging we feel, that they're all glimpses of God's love and a glimpse of what's to come as well. But we most perfectly see God's love in Jesus, in his life, his living a perfect and sinless life, but in his deep love and compassion that we read about and we experience ourselves now, his servant heart, his tender care, his righteous anger, his challenging and his piercing our hearts with truth. And we see it in his death and his gut-wrenching cry in the garden, but he still went to the cross in order to rescue us and close the gap between us and God. And that is the perfect love here in Jesus, and it is for all of us. And so Nicodemus wants to know how. How do we get this? How can this be? And it's by looking to Jesus and believing. Or as the Message translation puts it, everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. And I love this version. It's so innocent or so open, that trusting and expectant. And we just come to him with open hands, surrender to him, just ready to receive. And we can all do that at whatever stage we're in. We just come ready to receive. And this seems to unsettle Nicodemus even more with just this simple truth. Just believe and trust, and we'll have eternal life. And Jesus goes on to say, this is the verdict. And in the Greek, the word is more like the crisis. This is the crisis, Nicodemus. Will you receive this truth or not? Are you going to keep hiding in good deeds, being good, trying your best, believing that your efforts will earn your favor, keeping up appearances, busying yourself, just doing what you've always done? Or are you going to look to Jesus and see that none of those things adds to how much you are loved? You are in favor and you have nothing to prove. And then it's out of a response of this love that the good stuff flows and we do these things. So we come to this last bit of the text. And I just want to read you the Message version for just that extra richness and that you get from it. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. Jesus, described as the light here, and then some that run for the darkness, fearing a painful exposure. I was thinking of when you're a kid and you run and you hide somewhere if you've done something wrong. And Oscar has the place under the bed that he goes to. And we know that he's done something really wrong if he goes there. And as grown-ups, we hide too. Although it looks different for us. It looks different how we hide, doesn't it? And we might avoid the friend who asks the challenging questions, who really knows us. Or we might avoid spending time with God. And we might not open up the word of God, knowing that it can pierce our hearts with challenge and truth. So we might just avoid. Because that truth shines a light onto us. And it can feel painful and exposing, and it's easier to hide away. Let life distract us with everything that it's got, and it's got a lot to distract us. And not that we have to deal with everything that's not great in our hearts. We would never be able to do that. Once you've dealt with one thing, another thing will always pop up somewhere else. But it's about an openness with God, a closeness that you're seeking, and letting him do the work that he wants to do in your heart and in his timing. And in this passage, Jesus is inviting Nicodemus and us out of the shadows. He beckons us, come out into the light, into the open. There's no promise of an easier life. Sometimes the opposite is true, but the air is clearer, the path is lighter, and hiding in the dark is not the place for you. And so we can respond to Jesus now in whatever stage of our faith we find ourselves, wherever we're at. And I just felt like there were three things on my heart to specifically pray for. So I'd love to pray for us if... So the first was to those who haven't put their trust in Jesus. If you feel that sense of intrigue that I remember feeling those years ago, that stirring, something stirring, I'd love to pray for you today if you want to respond to Jesus in that way. Secondly, to those who feel like they're hiding a bit, feel like they've messed up, or just making some choices that are taking you away from God. Maybe drifting slowly in the wrong direction, or maybe suffering and needing to know that God's with you. And for the third, for all of us to be a witness, to those that God puts in front of us. We all have a unique and important story to tell of what Jesus is doing in our lives, and I want to pray for us the courage and the power to do this. So if you want to close your eyes, hold out your hands if you want to receive, and I'd love to pray for us for those things. So for those, God, we just come to you now. We ask you to help us to receive from you and to respond to you in this time. To those who want to take that step of faith of putting their trust in you, Jesus, to look up to you expectantly and trusting, God, I pray that they could do this and find life. Help them clearly see your love for them right now, that they will know your forgiveness and grace in their hearts. And to those hiding in the shadows a bit, making some choices that are leading you away, or maybe you feel like you're drifting slowly away, God's love is towards you right now. He asks you to trust him again. Repent of hiding and be drawn back into his love. And I just wondered if there might be some here who wanted to say, I miss you, God. I miss the closeness, the joy, and just to open your heart up to him again. And for everyone who believes in you here, Holy Spirit, I pray for your anointing and equipping to share Jesus with those that you put in front of us. I pray there be a stirring up for you again to love and serve and share with our friends and families what you've done for us and what you've done. And I pray for any that you are calling specifically to be sent in this way, God, would you raise them up, stir up faith and courage in them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If anybody did want to sort of talk about any of those things, please do come and find someone, and have a good rest of your day. Thank you.